Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
First scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis 2:15. This is a part of the creation story. The Lord God took the human and settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it and to take care of it. The second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. This particular reading occurs after the Last Supper, and Jesus has gone with a few of his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane at the base of Mount of Olives. Jesus left and made his way to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived, he said to them, "Pray that you won't give in to temptation." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. He said, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done." Then a heavenly angel appeared to him and strengthened him. He was in anguish and prayed even more earnestly. His sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from praying, he went to the disciples. He found them asleep, overcome by grief. He then said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you won't give in to temptation." The third reading is from the Gospel of John 20, verses 11 through 18. This occurs after the Sabbath and on the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, again in a garden. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Then she told them what he had said to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Throughout this series, we have been journeying not only through sacred text, but also alongside sacred text, the novel and musical Les Misérables. Not necessarily because we find Hugo's story in its variety of tellings as something quite so elevated as the authority of Scripture, yet with an understanding that God's voice is not limited, and indeed that God still speaks, and that we can hear God's voice in a variety of ways, especially through music. As we have engaged in this journey, we have done so exploring the character of Jean Valjean and the theological implication of grace and how it transforms us and how we might respond to God's grace. And further, how our response to God's grace cannot be singular but must be continual over and over and over. We talked about Inspector Javert and his rigid understanding of the rules and how that rigid understanding blinded him to the possibility of grace. We talked about the tragedy of Fantine. We talked about love through Marius and Cosette. We talked about Les Amis de l'ABC and speaking up on behalf of others. And today we conclude in a little bit of a different way, focusing perhaps a little less on characters and a little bit more on some settings. Because we might see in Hugo's novel his exploration of grace in some particular settings, and how a similar setting in sacred text might inform us about grace today. Of course, we remember the basic story that Jean Valjean stole some bread, not for himself specifically. I'm sure he wanted a crumb as someone who was hungry, but for his sister and his sister's child especially. And he was put in jail. He was put in jail for 19 years for stealing bread and trying to escape. And when he was on parole, found that because he was identified as a parolee, he was treated differently. He was paid less. He was given less hospitality. So he figured if the world is going to treat him that way, then he's going to treat the world that way until a priest offers him grace. See, he steals some silverware from the priest after he had been given a generous meal. And when the police catch him and bring him to the priest, say, "Didn't this guy steal the silver?" The priest said, "No, I gave it to him. And here, take these even more valuable silver candlesticks as well." And the priest says to him, after the police have left, says, "I do this for a reason. The lyric in the musical is, I have bought your soul for God." And Valjean has a choice. He has experienced the transformational possibility of grace. Will he respond? Will he allow himself to be transformed? Well, one of the prison guards turns out to transition out of prison work and work as an inspector. And his name is Javert, and he has a very rigid way of looking at the world. He interacts with Jean Valjean in some cases, not yet recognizing who he is. Valjean has built himself a new identity, becomes the mayor of a town, owns a factory, finds himself in situations where he has to continue to show grace. Javert interacts with other persons in the community, particularly a young woman named Fantine, who has fallen on such hard times, has a daughter that she's struggling to support. Javert sees everything in black and white. Valjean chooses to be more graceful. And in one of those expressions of care for others, Javert figures out who the mayor is. Valjean has to admit who he is and goes on the run once again. And in going on the run, goes to rescue Fantine's daughter and to raise her as his own because Fantine has reached the end of her life. And as he raises her on their own in secret, a revolution begins to brew. Valjean finds himself once again facing the choice of grace. Even comes face to face with Javert one more time and has the power to end Javert's life and instead once again extends grace. This is the context that we explore this story. Now, it's not so much present in the musical as it is in the book, but there are some particular gardens in Hugo's novel. And one of those gardens is a place where that priest, remember that priest that I mentioned, who lied to the police and said, no, he didn't steal that silverware. I gave it to him and here's more. That priest. One of his practices was to take a walk in his garden on a regular basis. I imagine him walking and maybe touching some of the plants and so. Listen, let's be clear. I'm not a gardener, so I don't know how appropriate it is to, you know, but I think there's something valuable about tangible, right? I would want to not only look at the beauty of the plants in the garden, but I would want to touch them gently, of course, to take in the beautiful scents and the colors and the environment. And this is a place where the priest goes to be thoughtful. And we might consider it a place to go for Sabbath, to center our souls, to rest our minds. I would suggest that the world feels like it moves so fast that sometimes it's so healing to go to a place of beauty and silence and rest our hearts and our minds. This is how the priest uses a garden outside of the place where he lives, the place where he hosted Valjean. There are two other examples of garden in Hugo's novel, and interestingly, they're the same garden experienced from different points of view. See, the place where Valjean raises young Cosette is a home that they name Rue Plumet. There's somewhat of a wild, unkept garden. Valjean struggles to do anything in the garden, but he sees value in the work. He sees Valjean's experience of grace is that it requires hard work. And while it's sort of a wild, unkept-looking garden, it's a place where he can go and put in good and hard work. And it's the same garden where young Cosette and her new love interest, Marius, go in the secrecy of this wild garden and for the first time profess their love. See, the garden is a safe place. It's a place of authenticity. Now, we also heard about three gardens in our sacred text this morning, from Genesis, from Luke, and from John. We heard about the first humans who God places in a garden. I imagine a garden of beauty and variety and color, a garden that has everything that one would need to sustain one's body in terms of food, but also to sustain one's spirit and soul. But God doesn't only place them in the garden and say, have at it, have a good time. God places these humans in the garden and says, take care of it, tend it. Yes, surely find it a place of sustenance and peace, but do the work that it takes to maintain it. We might think of the world as our garden, where we are invited to be nourished by the fruits of the world, but also understand the responsibility to care for and sustain the world. We might parallel that with Valjean's experience of a wild and somewhat untamed garden that requires work. A garden can be a place of transformation, of grief, of authenticity. As Jesus goes to a garden in Gethsemane and he prays, God, I know what you want me to do. I don't want to do it. I wonder how many of us have prayed the same thing. God, I know what you want me to do. I don't want to. I'm afraid. I don't know if you've prayed that prayer, but I want you to know that I have. God, I hear you. That's scary for me. And yet also in that prayer in the garden, I wonder if Jesus receives the strength to say, even though I am afraid, I will follow your call, and I will trust that you equip me to do the work that you call me to do. And I believe a garden can be a place of revelation. As Mary goes with an expectation to find a crucified Christ, and instead finds one who calls her by name. It is when she is called by name that she recognizes him. And her expectations are shattered. And she sees grace and hope again. And it's not lost on me that when she first sees this man in the garden, that she mistakes him for a gardener. The one who described himself as the vine for the branches is the gardener, the one who nourishes and tills and waters and weeds and transforms. My friends, at its absolute core, the story of Les Mis is about grace and is about love. Throughout the entirety of the story, the long novel, the beautiful musical, we continue to see messages that invite us to love, that all culminate in the beautiful line, the truth that once was spoken, to love another person is to see the face of God. How would we identify Jesus the Christ? In my mind, the perfect embodiment of God's love. If we embody that love, we see the face of God. And so where do we look? Where might grace be found? It might be found when we take that moment of rest and respite to silence ourselves from the world, to experience Sabbath, to open our hearts and minds to grace. It might take place when we choose to do good and hard work, to put in the labor, to serve one another and to serve the world, to be a plus one, to put more into the world than we take out of it. we might experience grace and love in those moments, when we can find ourselves strong enough, but also safe enough to be authentic and real. When we might be transformed, but we might also create a space where others might be transformed. When we acknowledge the cracks and brokenness in ourselves that are not flaws, but places for love to fill in, if you remember the spoken word poem from last week. This musical is about joy, and it's about love. Yes, it's about sacrifice, and it's about sacrifice out of love and compassion and grace. It's about transformation. It is my hope, my friends, that in these experiences of Jean Valjean, yes, even of Javert, of Fantine, of Marius and Cosette, of Les Amis, and of Gardens, that we can experience grace anew and again, anew and afresh. That we might hear in these words and hear in these melodies that God continues to speak. And that whether we read alongside messages of sacred text or messages of novels and musicals, that God's message remains constant. Love each other. This is the way that the world will know who you are. Love, compassion, grace, let it change you, let it transform you. So that you can change and transform the world in the love that's been given to you. May God sustain us. May God equip us. May God strengthen us. May God guide us. May God love us so that we might love. Amen. Friends, once again, each week I like to give you something tangible to do over the course of a week. And it's my hope that over this particular sermon series that you have engaged in some of these suggestions. Maybe you've built a bridge. Maybe you found a way to advocate for others. Today, I would invite you to think about any time you've worked in a garden. And maybe it's been a positive experience, and maybe it's been a challenging experience. I would invite you over the course of this week to think about some time that you've been in or worked in a garden, and think about how it has transformed you. Here's part two. Whether or not you have spent time in a garden, I would invite you this week to spend time in a garden. If you don't have one, we have a beautiful rose garden right here. Maybe even right after this service and right after our time on the olive tree patio, you might walk in our beautiful rose garden and open your heart and your minds to God's grace.